All right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Garment of Praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Since he cleansed and made me whole.
that floods my soul. And something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Thank you, Jesus. God our Father, we adore Thee, we Thy children bless Thy name. Chosen in the Christ before Thee, we are holy without blame. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Abba's praises we proclaim. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Abba's praises we proclaim. Son eternal, we adore Thee, Lamb upon the throne on high. Lamb of God, we bow before Thee, Thou hast brought Thy people nigh. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Son of God who came to die. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Son of God who came to die. Holy Spirit, we adore Thee, Paraclete and Heavenly Guest, sent from God and from the Savior, Thou hast led us into rest. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, by Thy grace forever blessed. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, by Thy grace forever blessed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one we give Thee praise. For the riches we inherit, heart and voice to Thee we raise. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Thee we bless through endless days. We adore Thee, we adore Thee, Thee we bless through endless days. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody have a pick of him this evening? 3:30. All right. Are you washed in the blood? 3:30. That's great. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any others this evening? All right. Praise the Lord.
All right. Very good. Good to see you folks tonight. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. It's like the rain got them tonight. Of course, it was a good little shower we got through here. Amen. My heavenly sprinkler system keeps paying out. I keep praying and it keeps paying out, man. My soul, I still haven't drug a hose around the yard. Not planning on it. It keeps raining like this. All right, do we have any pray? It cuts just as good as that green grass, doesn't it, Brother John? Amen. Praises. We got any praises tonight? Anybody? Yes, ma'am? Oh, your daughter and son-in-law off on vacation.
Yeah, they got to go off on a vacation, so
all right.
Grandma and Grandpa are taking care of Nathaniel, their youngest,
while
the two older ones work.
The two older ones are working. All right, amen.
And in almost 21 years, they've never, ever done this. All their anniversaries.
Oh, bless their hearts. They're due. They're due.
I've always been with the boys.
They are due their time away, man.
Yeah. But I'm thankful for that.
What'd they do?
Where did they go?
Yeah.
They went to Disney World?
By themselves.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Did you want to go to Disney World?
Yes, you did.
Oh, wow. Oh, they've been to Disney World. Okay. All right.
Just want to praise the Lord. I had a good visit with my sister, and she does recognize people and can... If you can understand her slurred speech, you can hold a conversation.
Right.
And even though it doesn't look well for her, but I just want to praise God that she was doing good. And then my oldest brother came in, and then after we left, they like this little place on 105 called Vernon's Catfish, and they got some good catfish
been there. Been there. Yeah, good place. 105. Amen. All right.
Praise God. We got Sharon in the house tonight.
All right, Sharon's here. Where'd you go, Sharon? All right, any other praises there? All right, prayer requests.
Pray for my sister Lorna's family as they go through this time with her cancer. And it looks like that she might have had two little mini strokes. That's why she has a slurred speech.
Okay, sure.
But pray for peace and comfort for them as they go through this time.
Pray for our shut-ins, Brother Lee, and pray for those that have addictions.
Yep. Shut-ins.
Both within our church as well as outside our church.
Yes, addictions.
Pray for the safety of our students and children during the summer.
Yeah, I heard on the news we're in the 100 days. They call it the deadliest every year. It's 100 days between Memorial and Labor Day.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous. There's more teenage deaths by car wreck.
Yes, sir.
In any other time of the year.
Yeah.
Is this 100-day period we're in right now.
Correct.
So, yeah. So be in prayer for them students and them driving them cars.
Pray for our government at all levels.
Amen.
And continue to pray for Ukraine. And I know they're in our prayers, but we kind of left them off our list there for a while. And
yeah, let's pray for Ukraine, man. They can drive out the aggressor and get their sovereignty back.
Pray for this Canadian fire, too. I guess it's affecting the air quality along the East Coast. And
New York.
Pitches we see is not what we normally see as far as the New York skyline. Yeah, pray for Miss Bickey.
What's the latest on Miss Bickey?
Well, she's got a... Go ahead.
Still with that drain tube?
She is on antibiotics, and it's making her feel better. She was going to drive tonight to church.
Yeah.
But she saw storms coming, and
I don't blame her. All right, Miss Bickey.
But she's hoping to be here on Sunday, so we'll see.
All right. You got it. Amen.
And pray for Sharon back here that
she
gets leveled out on her medications and doctors and have a comfort of quality of life.
Amen. All right, amen. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for my brother Leon.
Leon, Sharon's brother. Is he going on hospice or
no?
No?
I don't know what's going on.
You don't know? Okay.
I spoke with him 3 days after he had the stroke.
Okay.
And his wife is intercepting the phone calls and not.
So you're not able to talk to him?
I'm not able to talk to him and or get any more information.
Okay. You got it.
Thank you.
Recovering from stroke. What state's he in?
California.
What part of California?
San Diego.
All right. All right. Anything else? Any other pretties?
My sister Michelle. She's homeless.
Michelle?
She's homeless and she's in a bad situation looking for some answers. I don't know how to help her.
Right. And where is she located?
She's also in the San Diego area.
Okay.
I don't even know where she's at. She's living in a abandoned RV.
All right. San Diego. Okay. I did get a quiet, lengthy text from Loopy Holder tonight or this evening before church. She said she's unable to be here tonight on account of work. She said she'd be watching from home, but it says, this is, a text message from a family member addressed to Rose, her sister, and, of course, Loopy. It says, just want to share with you two only, that they found a liver for Leroy. Remember we've been praying for that?
Amen.
And he's going to have the operation tomorrow, so that'd be Thursday. Wanted to share with you only because their family doesn't want anyone else to know in case something goes wrong and because they don't want anyone worrying him. Apparently, he has been scared senseless about the operation to the point that he is having physical reactions like convulsions. His wife has not even told him yet. She wants him to get good sleep and not panic. I got the okay to tell you two because I told them I really want prayers and intercessions. And then she goes on to say, by the way, the liver he's getting is a good functioning liver, HIV free, but it did come from a drug user with Hep C. I questioned whether to wait for a better liver, but did not push as I sense they don't want to take chances. So then this family member says, after thinking about it, as discussed with Kevin, maybe that's God's way of making it difficult for him to drink again. because that's how he got in this situation, by giving him a functioning liver, but one he has to keep an eye on. Yeah. How great God is, the family member says. So I want to pray for that situation, right? Amen. Leroy's impending surgery tomorrow. Dallas Purdy went into the hospital. Didn't I tell you that, John? Went to the hospital last. Ronnie, I failed to tell you. I apologize, brother. After I got there, he went to the hospital last Thursday. He'd been in the hospital that long. And we didn't find out about it till Sunday morning. Ronnie, I'm completely spaced on you, buddy. I'm sorry. But he did have gallbladder surgery today, and he was supposedly went home today. But his gallbladder was, they said it was infected. Is that happened? I don't know.
Spent 5 days in the hospital, had surgery in 1 day and one and home.
That's my understanding. He was supposed to go home this afternoon, but they didn't know when he first went in. He was telling me they did not know. They didn't know exactly what it was, so they did all these tests, and finally did a. Anybody had a HIDA scan before? HIDA scan. I've had one. They inject you and then look at your gallbladder. All right, Dallas surgery. Went home. As far as I know, he's home. Misty said he was going home today. All right. Dallas has gallbladder surgery. Pray for his healing. All right. Leroy's surgery tomorrow. What else? Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We don't have anything else. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor for all you do for us. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, we thank you that we can be in the Word tonight. We can study, finishing up here, Leviticus chapter 17. But Lord, before we get there, we want to lift up these praises to you. We're thankful that Alita's daughter and son-in-law are finally getting to celebrate their marriage, just the two of them, and get away just to be by themselves and have some alone time as a husband and wife. We pray that you bless them in that. And that, Lord, you allow them to reconnect in different ways. Perhaps they weren't able to with the kids all these many years. We're thankful for that the kids are cared for during this time. We pray for safety for them as they enjoy their vacation. And pray that you bring them back safely to their family. But Lord, we're thankful for this. We lift up Lorna to you. We give you praise that she's getting able to see and visit with family members that perhaps she hasn't seen in quite a while. She's able to communicate. So, Lord, we give you praise and glory for that. Lord, we lift up these prayer requests as we thank you for Lorna with these visits. We also pray for her family, and we pray for her care as she goes through this cancer. Lord, we pray that you would be with the physicians and, Lord, just allow them to keep her comfortable and without any kind of pain, and Lord, help her with her appetite. She's going to fight this. She's going to have to eat. And so, Lord, we pray that you would really kick that in overdrive. Lord, if she's just through and done, and Lord, that she's a human being, and she gets to make that decision if she wants to fight or not fight. And so, Lord, we just pray that you help the family navigate all of that, give them wisdom in that. And, Lord, we just pray your divine hand upon that. We are thankful for Ron's testimony tonight of talking with his sister about her personal relationship with you, Lord, and we're thankful that we've got a good report on that. And, Lord, we're just thankful for her salvation. So we just lift that whole situation up to you and that family. We lift up the shut-ins to you tonight, Lord, and we pray that you might be with them. Thank you that we can come into their homes through the live stream and through the video tonight on the YouTube, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. We pray be an encouragement to them. We're thankful for their prayers as they lift up the church and lift up their pastor. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in that tonight. We pray for those associated with our congregation and in our congregation that are struggling with addictions. Lord, we pray that they'd be able to break free, be able to get past it, be able to move ahead and move beyond it, Lord. We pray that you would put situations, circumstances, people across their path that would help them get off this, whatever they're on, whatever they're struggling with, whether it be drugs or alcohol, whatever it may be. Lord, we do pray for this 100-day period that we're in between Memorial and Labor Day. We're praying for safety for these students, those that are driving for the first time this summer, those that are not paying attention while they're driving, looking at their phones or something else. Lord, we pray you might give them wisdom beyond their years and help them to make wise and not foolish decisions as they get behind the wheel. Lord, we pray you'd protect them from any kind of temptation to drink and drive. And Lord, we just pray that you would watch over these students in this area, all across the state, in this nation. Lord, we lift up our government, all levels. We do pray for our state government in what's going on with this impeachment of the Attorney General. Lord, we just pray for your perfect will and all that. And Lord, you might deliver Texas out of the world news, out of the national news, Lord, and let us get back to other things besides that. And then, Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for our military. We just pray for both houses of Congress. Lord, we pray that you would help them serve American people. And, Lord, we pray always that whatever laws they enact, whatever they do, would not infringe on the rights of churches like this that want to proclaim all of God's word and proclaim it without any kind of apology. So, Lord, we're praying for that tonight. We lift up Ukraine to you, Lord. We haven't mentioned them in several weeks. We pray a hedge of protection around those troops, Lord, those Ukrainian troops. And we pray that, Lord, you would help them, you would undergird them, strengthen them. Let them take back their land, Lord, and drive out the aggressor. Lord, we don't want to see a domino situation, one country fall and then another country fall. Lord, we know it's heading to World War III at that point. So, Father God, we pray you might stave that off. You might help the Ukrainians drive out the Russians. And, Lord, just help them get deliverance from what they've been going through these last several months and coming up over a year now. Lord, we lift up these Canadian fires, wildfires in Canada, Lord, that's putting all this smoke and haze and pollutants in the air in the Northeast. We pray you protect those most vulnerable people, Lord, that are not able to acquire a mask or stay indoors. Pray you help them, Lord, protect their lungs, protect their lives. And we just pray you help those folks. Pray those Canadians get those things under control. Lord, we lift up Miss Bicky to you tonight. We pray for her healing from this medical procedure that she's had. We pray you continue to bring healing to her life. And, Lord, if she is able to be here on Sunday, Lord, we just pray you make a way for her to be here. We lift up Sharon to you, Lord, and her medical struggles, and we just pray you help her and be with her physicians as they try to get all the different medications balanced out and lined out, Lord, for her to have good quality of life. And we lift up Sharon's brother to you tonight in the hospital, recovering from a stroke. We pray that Sharon might be able to get the contact and the information that she needs about her brother. But Lord, we lift up his healing tonight. We pray for Sharon's sister, Michelle, homeless there in the San Diego, California area. We pray for her protection, and Lord, we pray you might send wisdom her way to help her navigate what she's going through and help her get past what she's struggling with. And then, Lord, as we have prayed on Loopy's behalf for her cousin Leroy, we rejoice tonight that it looks like Leroy's getting a new liver tomorrow morning. And so, Lord, we just pray that surgery would go well. We pray you guide the physician, the surgeon's hands. You be with the anesthesiologist, Lord, all the surgical team, the nurses, the techs, everybody that's going to be handling instruments and handling his body and all kinds of different stuff. Lord, we pray that this would be a successful procedure. This would give Leroy a new lease on life. And, Lord, we pray that Leroy would treat this new lease on life He would treat it as precious. And Lord, he would thank you for the miracle, and he would give you the praise and the glory and the honor for providing him a new liver. So Lord, help him not mess this up. Help him not go back to drinking. And Lord, just help him stay on the straight and narrow. We thank you again, Lord, for all you do, how you bless. Salvation, Lord, we just rejoice in it tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, All right, amen. We are in Leviticus 17, or we're trying to finish this. We're going to finish this chapter. We're going to give it a good shot. We're going to try to finish chapter 17 of Leviticus tonight and introduce chapter 18 on this coming Sunday evening. And when we finished last time, we were talking about this. We said on Sunday night, we said, if blood, and as we have seen life, we said, if it's precious, then there are several areas of application. And we covered about three of them. We said the first application is that God values all life. Remember what we said? Amen? We said the second application is the measure of the value which God has placed on your life, and that is the price which He was willing to pay to save your life. And what did we say that was? That was the precious blood of His only Son, Jesus Christ. We said the third application is if we truly treasure the blood of Christ, then we will seek to not defile it. And then I asked that question. I said, are there ways in which the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is profaned? And I answered my question. I said, I believe so. I said, first, the believer profanes the blood of Christ by what? How does he do it? By persisting in the very sin from which the precious blood was intended to cleanse him or her from. We read that passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. It says, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We said a second way in which the Christian can profane the precious blood of Christ is by a disregard, remember, for the Lord's communion table, the Lord's supper table. Y'all remember that? Or by misconduct in the remembrance of the Lord's death. And in 30 years, I have heard some crazy wackadoo things people, pastors, churches, have attempted to do during the Lord's Supper. They don't even bear mentioning here tonight, but suffice to say, they trampled the very blood of Christ. Now, not only is misconduct at the Lord's table profaning the blood of Christ, what do we say? But also absence from the Lord's table. And I mentioned that to you. You know, you find yourself in a church, and you've been there a month, been there 2 months, you've been 3 or 4 months, and you don't heard anything about the Lord's Supper? Supposed to be a Christian church? Supposed to believe in Jesus Christ? You not heard about that? You ask somebody there in the congregation, hey, do you guys observe the Lord's Supper? They look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. That's a church you need to turn around and what? Walk away from, right? There's essentially absence from the Lord's Supper. And then we said there's essentially but one way in which non-Christians profane the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is by what? That is by esteeming it of so little worth that they seek acceptance with God on the basis of their what? Their own works in place of the atonement in which Christ shed his own blood. And we kind of got you to imagine for just a moment, imagine standing before the judgment seat of God, which I don't plan on being there. I plan on being at the Bema seat of Christ. But imagine standing before the judgment seat of God, the great white throne judgment, and having God ask you but one question, the answer to which determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And honestly, everybody there at the white throne, nobody's going to get a pass from the white throne to go to the Bema seat. Make sense? You're at the white throne because you've rejected Christ, right? You've rejected His blood. And the question is, the question I assure you will have something to do with this. What have you done with the shed blood of my Son? Right? And then everybody gets to say, that's there. I've done nothing. I've rejected. I didn't apply it. I didn't submit. I didn't surrender to it. Make sense? We said God cares nothing for what you have to offer, but only for what He Himself has offered you, His only begotten Son. which brought us to John 3:16. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so we closed it with, how dare any man or woman who thinks they could offer God anything for their own redemption, when God has paid the price in full at the cost of the blood of His Son. Well, as we were going full guns on Sunday night, we said, if blood, and as we have seen, life is precious, then there are several areas of application. I've got one more, and that's the fourth one. The value which we place on the blood of Christ is not proven as much by what we profess as by what we practice. Yeah? As I've been meditating on the practical implications, I was talking to a pastor friend yesterday, and we were talking about our preaching calendar and what we're doing in the pulpit, and I said, well, man, I'm in Leviticus on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and he kind of hem-hauled around and wanted to feel sorry for me. I said, don't feel sorry for me. I said, man, Leviticus is alive. I said, I've been preaching through the Old Testament with my church for going on 10 years now, and I'm telling you, Leviticus, I thought when I had to preach, when I was going to preach through Leviticus, I thought it was going to be a snooze fest. I thought it was going to be difficult. But I said, man, I think this is one of my most favorite Old Testament books at the present. Amen? Leviticus. See, the value which we place on the blood of Christ is not proven as much by what we profess as by what we practice, right? And so it occurred to me that the Israelites' practice was to prove the regard for blood. God's asking them, He's telling them, you're going to do this and you're going to do that if you're going to obey. And you're going to follow this regulation and that regulation. Their obedience to the regulations of Leviticus 17 was evidence that they, along with God, found blood to be precious. Now, the same is true for us. It's not enough to just state with our mouths the preciousness of the blood of Christ as a fact. And we may believe in the blood of Christ for one's salvation. I think that's the only way you get saved, believing in that blood for our own personal salvation. But belief has to be fleshed out, doesn't it? Doesn't belief have to be fleshed out? We're not earning our salvation, but what are we doing? We're proving our salvation, right? There must be some practical way in which we prove our regard for Christ's blood by the way we act. So, let's ask that question. How does one exhibit actions and practical ways that proves our regard for Christ's blood? Well, let me characterize the actions of one who has found something precious. Something precious, and see if this describes your life as a result of finding Christ's blood precious. First, when a person finds something which he or she values as precious, they will give all they have to acquire it. I refer to the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. It's but one illustration of this. Matthew 13, 45 through 46 reads, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. See, if the blood of Christ is truly precious, then we do not have to bribe men with false promises to convince them to accept it, nor do we have to minimize the cost. To put it in other words, to the degree that we dilute the gospel message, not saying we do as a church, but to the degree that other congregations and other denominations dilute the gospel message, which has its central theme in the blood of Christ for the remission of humanity's sin, to the degree they do that, they accentuate their own devaluation of His blood. And we suggest to the lost, they suggest to the lost, that the blood or salvation is not worth a person's all. Makes sense? Does that make sense to you? Second, when we value something as precious, we cannot get enough of it. A person who values a certain kind of car as precious, they'll get as many of them as they can. And if they can't get more than one, oh, they'll really doll that car up or that truck. I've watched the YouTube before I go to sleep. It kind of, I guess, chills me out. Amen? Watching a good, boring YouTube video. And sometimes I'll come across these guys doing all this stuff to these trucks, and I'll see them, and it'll be a truck like mine. You know, it's just an XL truck, just a base model truck, right? And they'll be taking it to an aftermarket place, and they'll be dumping thousands, I mean thousands of dollars into this truck. Why do they do that? Because they find the truck, it's precious to them. So instead of the little 8-inch screen that comes in the base model truck, they want the big foot screen, right? It comes in the platinum trucks or the nicer trim trucks. So they'll spend thousands of dollars to have that put in. And then they'll have the thing lifted, so they have to get a stepladder to get in it. And then they'll have these kind of pipes, but I mean it just goes on and on. Why? Because they find the truck precious. Ladies, you can agree with that. Amen, ladies. Yeah, you've seen it. A person who values a certain kind of car, they'll get all of them if they can, or they'll doll it up. The one who values gold will also get all of it he can or she can get his hands on. So too with the blood of Christ. We will not only claim it for our salvation, but we will claim it on our every approach to God. We will never tire of talking of it. We will never tire of meditating on the blood of Christ or speaking of it to others, the blood of Christ. Now, what saddens my heart is I'm leaving chapter 17 tonight, moving on to chapter 18. But that's all I've got on chapter 17. Maybe in 6 months we'll come back and say something else about the blood. Amen. How does one exhibit actions in practical ways that proves our regards for Christ's blood? I'm trying to characterize for you the questions of one who has found something precious and see if this describes your life as a result of finding Christ's blood precious. The Lord's table, if you find it precious, the Lord's table will never be a burden, but it'll be a delight to you if we truly find His blood precious. Perhaps you find in your own personal life that when you acquire something you greatly value, you keep going out to look at it. If you're a man, the thing is probably in your garage, and you find yourself going back to your garage to gaze upon it. If you're a woman, the thing is probably somewhere in your house, and you go to that room or the area of your house to look at it over and over again. So, we should see the blood in the Bible from cover to cover. And we should never tire of looking for it again. And looking at it again. And going back and looking at it again. Somebody say amen. Third, when a person finds something that is precious to him or her, they seek to share it with others. Now, listen to this. One who has a very rare coin, one who has a very rare jewel, one who has a very rare or old and fixed up automobile or motorcycle or whatever, they'll not try to give that away. They want to keep that in their possession. But they will seek to do what? They will seek to share its beauty with others. They'll seek to share its preciousness with others. They'll seek to show it off to others. Have I ever shown you this coin? Come over here, man. Let's look at this coin. Let me dig this coin out. Have I ever shown you this? Come over here, man. Let me show you this. You know, I don't show this just to everybody, but you're really special. I want to show you this, right? Have you ever sat in this car? Well, man, come on, man. Let's go get in that car. Have you ever heard this car start? Let me crank this up for you. You understand what I'm saying, right? Now, my analogy begins to break down here because the things which we value most on earth are rare and are temporal. And we're dealing with something, when we talk about Christ's blood, we're dealing with something that's infinite, right? And we're dealing with something that's eternal, right? Amen? And when we talk about the blood of Christ, it's hard for me to get the analogy perfect. Thus, one is not about to give away something which is in short supply and which cannot be replaced. But the blood of Christ is very different, isn't it? See, the blood is infinitely precious, but it's also what? It's also infinitely available. Therefore, you can give it away to as many as all will receive it and not have your own supply of it diminished at all. That is the beauty of it. What I'm trying to say here is that we should seek to bring others to Christ through the blood if we really valued the blood ourselves. Now, one commentator I was reading in preparation for this Bible study, and he had written a very sobering statement. He says this. He says, our estimation of the preciousness of Christ's blood is the measure of our evangelistic zeal. Did you hear that? Our estimation of the preciousness, our estimation of the preciousness of Christ's blood is the measure of our evangelistic zeal. I read that and just had to put the book down. What? Yeah, that's right. Fourth, when we truly find something precious, we seek to guard it from danger or defilement. The things which are precious to us, we lock up. We put bars around. We buy alarm systems to protect. If we truly find the blood of Christ precious, we will do our best to keep from profaning it ourselves, or to keep others from profaning it. This relates once again to the way in which we remember the Lord's table and the way in which we live our lives in personal holiness. Yes, yes? Fifthly, the shedding of blood is the standard by which love is measured. That may be the greatest application of all. That may be the greatest way that we can testify of the blood of Jesus. The shedding of blood is the standard by which love is measured. There remains but one thing more to say, and that is that the measure of true love is ultimately one's willingness to shed said blood for another. Our Lord taught that no one has greater love than the love who will lay down his life for his friends, right? John 15:13. The death of Christ went one step beyond this, for he died for us while we were his enemies. Romans 5:6-8. But if we truly love others, we will shed our blood for them. Like on Calvary's cross? Not necessarily. If we truly love God, we will be willing to shed our blood for him. Like on Calvary's cross? Maybe. It is against this principle that the words of the writer to the Hebrews come on us with stinging force tonight. He's writing to those who would forsake their faith, who would forsake their faith for some opposition. And he concludes, Hebrews 12:4. He says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Any struggle with sin which does not go this far betrays a lack of love, betrays it. And so as we close it tonight, and I hope, my prayer is that those of you that have attended on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and those of you that have watched online, those of you that have gone back and watched the services, my prayer is that the blood of Christ be more precious to you now than it ever has been before in your life. Because I think when we get the gist of it, I don't know about you, but doesn't knowing the Word of God help you to get closer to God? And getting closer to God, doesn't that ultimately bring you a peace that is unstoppable? Right? So that when you're going through the trials and the temptations and everything, you know in the back of your mind, you know in your heart of hearts, there's something in you and with you that transcends it all. And that you can. You can continue to go forward. And that you can continue to serve. And that in spite of the health, or in spite of the sickness, or in spite of the finances, or in spite of the opposition, or in spite of the criticism, or in spite of whatever it may be, that's not the final analysis. The final analysis is that you've been blessed by the blood of Christ. You're saved. I mean, man, oh man. I try to help people. I run across people all the time. They're struggling. Struggling with relationships, or struggling with this, or struggling with that. I try to tell them it's not about that. It's not necessarily about you. About what you got going on with God. You got anything going on with God? Is there something going on with God with you? Well, what do you mean by that? I used to go to church. What do you mean by that? Well, do you know the Lord? Well, what do you mean by that? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Well, yeah. Well, what church do you attend? Well, I haven't been to church in forever today. Really? But you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Well, I think I do. I believe that there's that profession, amen. That profession's got to be there, right? But the practical does what? The practical proves the profession, does it not? It doesn't earn the profession. It proves it. Amen, amen. Well, thank you. That's chapter 17. We start chapter 18 on Sunday p.m. I hope you'll come back. Those of you with us online, I hope you'll come back. Amen. Preacher, you're long-winded. I'm sorry. Come on back. Maybe I'll be short-winded on Sunday night. Hallelujah. Not long enough. Let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this, again, this scarlet thread of redemption that runs all through the Bible. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Everything building towards the blood and that cross on which that body hung to shed that precious blood for each and every one of us. To cover our sin so that our sins are taken care of, or they're atoned for, the remission of our sins, so that we can be justified and that we can be sanctified and that one day we can be glorified. We're thankful for it, Lord. We're thankful for what you've done for us. We're thankful for the great price that you've paid for each and every one of our salvation here tonight. Lord, there are people out there that we know and some that we don't that are struggling with who they are, struggling with what they're here for, struggling with this God-shaped vacuum in their heart. And they've tried putting just about everything in there. But nothing seems to fit. Nothing seems to feel. Nothing seems to satisfy. Nothing seems to bring that cathartic change. But we know what will bring that change. And His name is Jesus. And it's the gospel. And it's a gospel worth telling. And it's a gospel for the lost man or woman worth receiving. And it's a beautiful thing when we get to share it. So Lord, help us share it. Help us sow it. Help us cast it far and wide. May we not be ashamed. May we not be angry when we share it. or upset when we share it, but may we just be filled with grace and love when we talk to somebody about Jesus. And just tell them. Tell them about the love of Christ and the blood that was shed and the forgiveness of sins they can experience. And just take them down that old Roman road leading them to Romans 10:9 and 10:13. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's had a part in our salvation. And Lord, may we have a part in somebody else's. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. We'll see you later online, folks. Be good.